on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial President, Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition, March 24th of InvestTalk. Appreciate it being here, 2015, Tuesday, March 24th. Welcome to all our radio listeners, podcast subscribers, and everyone who's live on our radio station, and, of course, those live streaming, live broadcasts on InvestTalk.com. You can do that with your app or on your smartphone if you want. So we thank you, everybody, for joining. We talk to our listeners about stocks and funds and other individual assets, and the selection of these seems to get more of our attention every day, even on the radio here. But we don't talk about, and it's much more important to talk about, a portfolio of stocks, not just individual stocks, but what is the overall portfolio? What is the mix that you have? A strong stock portfolio could be described as one as well diversified, because it's simple. One individual sector could get crushed, but if you have a well diversified portfolio, all sectors don't get crushed at the same time, normally. In a bear market they do, but not normally. There are sector rotations. So if you don't, and you don't know which sector, I don't know which sector is going to get crushed. I don't. You know, you can have an educated guess, but you don't really know. So if you just keep that in mind, keep your portfolio well-diversified and over a variety of sectors, and really that will serve you better. And also, all portfolios don't fit all investors. Different portfolios that do different things, and you have to decide what you want. Now, KPP Financial here, we have a handful of different programs that tries to address the most common life situations goals. I had a conversation this morning about, you know, a person's portfolio that doesn't seem to be designed for what they want. You know, if you want growth, then you should have a growth portfolio. If you want income, you should have an income portfolio. If you want a balanced portfolio, then you have both. But what your situation may be. I had talked to some young people this morning, and they should have growth. Some older people this later in the morning, they should have income, maybe with some growth, depending on their personality. That's what I mean. You design a portfolio that fits you, and you kind of understand what you're doing and how that works, how to construct it. So, not only do you worry about selecting stocks and other vehicles, ETFs, mutual funds, but you have to worry about the objectives that you have and that they will achieve that objective. When you get close to retirement, you're looking for income. You're looking for strong dividend-paying stocks or maybe some bonds. Everybody wants to get high dividend-paying stocks. Everybody wants it. It's been very popular lately, the last few years, because no one can get any yields from savings or CDs. What does that do to those dividend-paying stocks? What if you're just starting out? Then you really don't care about the income. You care about growth. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. So understand what kind of portfolio you want and whether it is meeting the needs. Analyze it. Find out, is this producing, what's the yield of your overall portfolio? Dividend yield. Or if it's dividend and bond yield, what are the yields? What's the yield? Is that what you're after? High yields. And don't that's what makes it difficult. I'm going to tell you, you know, you might be after high yield, but don't go chasing yield. Don't go after crazy yields that you know are unsustainable, especially for you, those people in retirement. You can't do that because you might buy something that goes bankrupt because they have this great yield and you think it's a wonderful yield and you go chase it. Don't do that. Look at the fundamentals. Fundamentals first, everybody. Fundamentals of the company. We're going to talk about that more during the show here. Now, it's time to answer some of your questions. I'll do my best to answer any and all questions financial. Our number is 888-99-CHART. I hope you use it and give me a call. So let's take the first question here on our 24-hour listener line.
I've got roughly 20,000 sitting in CDs coming due to mature. And rather than put them back into, roll them back over into CDs, would I be better off going into some type of a bond, a high-yielding bond at this time? And maybe which direction should I look?
Now, see, that's what I mean. There's a high-yield bond. High-yield bond means junk bonds, and you're stretching for yield. And this is what's happening to everybody. I don't blame him. He's looking for some better yield. I know. We all want that. I agree. But you have to, when you do that, you raise up, look, from a CD that's no risk to a high-yield bond that is high risk. Okay? Maybe it's not as high a risk as the stock market, but it certainly is high risk. So now the question is, I'm not opposed to buying high-yielding bonds, but I am opposed to buying poor quality high-yielding bonds. And usually the word high yield or junk means poor quality. You can get a very good corporate bond, a three-year bond for 4 or 5% for a very high-quality company. You can get that. You can. Now, I would not suggest you buy one bond. I would buy 10 bonds and different companies so that you could spread your risk and all looking for high-quality bonds. And that's triple B plus or higher. That's what's in our income portfolio. We half of that portfolio is high quality, triple B plus or better bonds, and the other half high paying dividends in that portfolio. So you're looking for that. But remember, if you're changing from a CD, and this is happening to a lot of people, their CDs are coming due, what do they do with the money? If they renew in a CD, they get nothing, virtually not very low returns. So they look for something better. And that's what's happening in the market. And I don't blame you. You need something better, but be very careful. I would stick maybe with floating rate bond fund, a short-term bond fund. You won't get much. You'll get 1%, 2%, 3%. But if interest rates start to rise, and I don't know if they will, but if they do, the Fed says they're going to start raising them later this year, then bond funds won't work. Well, they'll still get your yield. We're going to talk about yield versus return. Return versus yield. You will still get your yield, but you won't get any return. What does that mean? Well, that's one of our main talking points today. That's what we're going to discuss. That's our main talking point, actually. Other talking points. Have you seen the housing numbers or existing home sales yesterday and new home sales today? We're going to talk about them. I always talk about the housing sales when they come out every month. You know why? If you have noticed, every month they come out, and I always talk about them. Well, because almost everybody out there listening owns real estate. I think you should be interested. I'm interested. I think it's something we all should be interested in. Penny stocks are losing propositions. I want to talk about all the hot pot stocks, marijuana stocks last year. So all those hot pot marijuana stocks, what was the average return? Penny stocks, do you know? Everybody was calling up, wants to buy pot stocks. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about what the returns overall in those were last year. And then in conjunction with that, I want to talk about small cap stocks, small capitalization stocks. Those are stocks that are small, not penny stocks. Don't confuse the two. I'm going to talk about penny stocks, and I'm going to talk about small cap. Different worlds apart. You need to understand these two different worlds, because penny stocks are not small cap stocks. Penny stocks are junk, crap, bad. I don't know how else to say it. I don't want to use the real words I would like to say about penny stocks. Now, I know I'm going to get emails and calls. Yeah, but this penny stocks went up 10,000% in a week. Uh-huh. I know I'm going to get them. People love the penny stocks. But they're not an investment. That's all I can say. Right now, let's take a quick review of today's market. What happened today? The Dow down 104 points. NASDAQ down 16. The NASDAQ down 16 and the S&P down 13. We have a little interesting little tidbit I want to share with you. Do you know there's been 25 trading days, the last 25 trading days, where there has not been a back-to-back up day? In other words, the market's up today, and then it was up tomorrow. Nope. It was up today, down tomorrow. Up again, down again. Up, down twice maybe. Up once, then down once. Up. For 25 days, we have not had back-to-back up days. Isn't that interesting? What does it tell us? It just tells you the market's pretty volatile. market doesn't really have a direction, and it doesn't really have one for this year so far. It has a lot of resistance at the old high that it made, and this has a heck of a time breaking through. But isn't it interesting? 25 days, go look, without two up days in a row. You've had two down days in a row, but not two up days in a row. And I will say this, might be a big up day and then a small down day, but no two up days in a row. Isn't that funny? That's pretty unusual, by the way. Pretty unusual. Anyways, those are the things we're going to talk about, but I'd rather talk about what's on your mind. Okay, there's great disappointment out there about 401k plans. We've talked about it off and on quite a bit on the show here after hearing the complaints, and I really, I've seen them. I've seen so many thousands of them. And most of them are just terrible. They don't offer you good quality funds. They're usually, you know, and they don't offer you enough of a different funds. You know, the best you can do is get in the index. And many of them offer an index fund, and that's almost all you can do. And I hate those target-dated funds. You've heard me talk and complain about them. Why? I don't like them. So anyways, we have a 401k solution at the office. And if you have a bad 401k, talk to your employer. Or maybe he can make some changes, you know, and have us part of the solution where we can offer a bunch of different funds, thousands of them, or even help you with management services in your 401k. In other words, you can hire KPP Financial to manage that inside your 401k. Instead of you trying to do it yourself, you know how difficult it is? And statistics have shown that people who manage their own 401ks do about 50% worse than managed by a professional. Over the years, studies have shown that. If you want more information, just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Justin.
As an employer, I have two worries. Beyond delivering a product to my customers, I worry about providing my employees with a solid 401k plan. And now, the legal responsibility to get it right.
It's true that for employers, a breach of fiduciary responsibility may involve personal liability. As the requirements become more demanding, it's become a best practice to hire a plan professional.
The 401k solution from KPP Financial gives plan employers the highest level of fiduciary oversight and relieves them from the liability that goes with the selection and monitoring of investment choices.
KPP Financial makes it possible for employers to offer custom professional asset management for employee 401k accounts.
And it's tailored to each employee. This is great for them. And for me, it alleviates a lot of my ongoing administrative workload.
If you're an employer and want to know more about KPP Financial's 401k solution, just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Justin and type 401k. A file full of information will come back to you right away. And if you're an employee, do the same and share it with your employer.
The 401k solution solves a 401k problem for both employers and employees.
We continue now with Invest Talk. And the way to get the most benefit from this hour each day is to join in. Ask your question now, 888-99-CHART. And we'd love to hear your comments, too.
888-992-4278. So what's better and what should you be looking for, return or yield? What's the difference between the two? The return, getting a return on investment, or the yield of investment? Well, I'll make it. You know, we're going to talk about how it relates to stocks and bonds, but I'm going to first start with property. Let's say you buy a rental property, okay, and the rental property goes down 50%, which we saw not too long ago. So the return on that, if you sold it when it was down 50%, there would be no return. But all the time that you're holding it, you're getting rent. And rent is the yield. Return is a return on the overall investment. How much money did you make? What's the return? Yield is what is it paying you on an ongoing basis. In bonds, same thing. You can buy a bond, a 10-year treasury, and it has a yield of 2%. But if yields go down to 1% on the next month or the 2 months from now, the 10-year treasury is selling for 1% then the value of your bond will go down So your return, if you sold it, would be negative. But meanwhile, it still will pay you 2%. So yield is what it pays you. What's the yield? What's it yielding? So whenever you think about investments, stocks, bonds, are you getting a return? What's the total return? And that's what you bought it at, how much it's worth, and plus the yield you got all along the way. That's the total return. So returns and yields. Don't think of those two things as the same thing. They're not. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. 888-99-CHART is how you reach me right now with any of your money questions or your topics about money here on Invest Talk. I'm ready for your call right now.
Now is a good time to call Invest Talk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on Invest Talk. Now there's a way to measure your investment risk tolerance online for free.
I often talk about risk on this program because it's priority number one, managing the risk of a portfolio of stocks.
What if you could answer a handful of simple questions and learn your relative risk tolerance, and then learn if your current portfolio matches up?
What is your risk number from 0 to 100? Where do you fall? 100 being the high risk, super, super high, 0 being no risk. Where do you fall in that? We have a new tool for you at your disposal to help you understand your risk tolerance.
Steve and Justin invite you to try this free personal risk analysis tool.
It can score your personal risk tolerance. Then the beauty part is we can put in your portfolio and see what this level of your portfolio is.
Just go to investtalk.com and look for the blue box that says free personal risk analysis on investtalk.com.
Hey, what are you doing?
Hey, I'm just going through this box of cassette tapes I found in the basement.
Holy moly, look at all that spandex and big hair.
And that's just the men.
Is he wearing the same eyeshadow as me?
And the same stirrup pants. Everything gets old, even your shocks. So make sure you have your shocks inspected at 50,000 miles. Purchase qualifying Monroe shocks or struts between now and April 30th and get a prepaid card worth up to $120 by mail-in offer. Restrictions apply.
Someone else's driving can cause a big problem. On average, there are more than 26,000 car accidents a day. Know what to do if you're in one. Then learn the right parts, insurance, and repairs that keep your Ford afloat at TakeAGoodLook.com. Based on 2012 statistics from NHTSA.
Significant weight loss can improve conditions like diabetes, high blood pressure, and sleep apnea. Joint damage can be minimized and the need for expensive medications can be reduced. I'm registered nurse Lynn Skocelis. Minimally invasive weight loss procedures may be able to help you lose weight while gaining a lifetime of health benefits. Learn how at a free seminar with experts from Sharp Memorial Hospital's nationally recognized Center of Excellence for Bariatric Surgery. Register at 1-800-82-SHARP or sharp.com/memorial.
Welcome to State Farm, Mr. Murphy. What do you have there?
Metal detector. You mentioned you were going to comb through my auto policy to unearth some hidden savings, and I figured you could use this.
Actually, I just meant I'd give you our discount double check. I'd dig through your policy and see if there are some discounts you could be taking advantage of. We find more than just nickels and dimes.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, there must be a lot of metal in your desk.
It's a metal desk.
Always looking for the discounts you deserve. That's State Farm's discount double check. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM and get to a better state. State Farm.
Invest Talk continues now. KPP Financial offers four selected choices for investment programs. One may be right for you. Look for the investing tab on investtalk.com to learn more about it.
888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to George in San Jose. How you doing, George?
Fine. Thank you, Steve, for taking my call.
Thank you.
Steve, about MAC, M-A-C, they had an offer to be required by Seaman Property
right. A
couple of weeks ago, and then they rejected. Then Seaman Property came back and raised the offer to $95. Mm-hmm. but they give an ultimatum to April 30th. They should accept it. Otherwise, that would be a final offer.
Uh-huh.
And there is a $6, $7 gap between price now and 95.
Right.
Do you think it's worth of a try?
Well, you know, whenever you have a company taking over another company at a certain price, and the problem here is that they refused a $91 price, and now that's, you know, another $5 up. So that's what we're at, $95, $96 is the offer, and today is trading at $87.42. And the difference between 87 and 95 is because the deal may not go through, where people are worried about the deal not going through. If the deal doesn't go through, George, I wouldn't be surprised if that price goes all the way down to the $82 area. Because that's what it was trading at, 82, 83, 84, before the offers even started coming in. So,
okay.
You know, if you roll the dice, you know, you're rolling the dice. It could, if that offer comes in, then the stock will go right up near the offer. It won't go probably above it. But this is a MacRitch company. MAC is the symbol. It's a REIT that acquires and owns, develops regional community shopping centers, and it's Simon Property Group wanted to buy them. So it's kind of a, and they're a pretty good company, MacRitch. I mean, they were doing well on their own. They'll do well on their own when, you know, I almost, George, want to buy it if the deal falls through. Because if that happens, the stock will get crushed for no reason other than the deal fell through, right? The company's,
that's correct. And their PE is like 8 and 9, am I correct?
Yeah. Well, they're going to make $4.14 next year. It's an $87 stock, so it's higher PE than that. It's more like, you know, 20, not 8 or 9. I don't know where you're getting that $8 or $9.
Okay. But they don't have a problem to make that 2.9% dividend.
No. The dividend is really solid, 3%, really solid. They can probably pay a lot more than that if they want to. And they probably will.
Okay.
Remember, it's a REIT. If they make $4.14, they've got to pay 90% of that out in a form of a dividend. And what is that yield on $87? Well, if the stock goes down to the $80 to $82, man, that's looking pretty darn attractive. So George almost wish it wouldn't go through and then buy it then. Yeah.
Okay, or either way, apparently, or risk and reward is equal here.
Risk? I don't know. I'd have to study it a little bit more. I don't know if it's equal.
Because from 87 to 95 is $8.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And from 87 to 80 is another 7. So we either lose 7 or gain 8.
That's right. That is true. George, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. MAC was a symbol, everybody. Let's go to Sam in San Jose.
That's right. That was true.
Hi, Sam.
George, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. MAC was a symbol. Let's go to
Sam?
Yeah.
You got to turn your radio off.
I have a question on real estate and dollar value.
Sure.
Dollar is so strong right now. So is it a good time to buy the house or should I wait?
I kind of think it's a good time. I really do, because I think interest rates are very, very low, and I don't think they have much room to go further downward. I think they have a lot more room to go up. The Fed has promised to raise rates this year, but they may not, but they said they are. And properties, you know, even though they've recovered a lot, of course, it's all in San Jose, Sam, where you are, it's super expensive, right? I mean, the properties have just skyrocketed in that area. I like the fact that rates are so low, and that makes it attractive to me.
But so, if the dollar gets weaker a bit, the housing prices will go up too.
I don't think the weaker or stronger dollar will affect much our real estate here in the U.S. because you're buying real estate in U.S. dollars and U.S. interest rates, and it's all based here. So the dollar getting weak or strong against foreign currency really doesn't matter.
Okay, I thought that dollar gets weaker, then inflation and all that stuff will increase and the housing value may go up or something.
Yeah, well, no, usually if the dollar weakens, it really means that the economy is not doing so good versus other countries. Their economies are doing better than ours, or our economy is improving. It's been very strong because almost every other economy in the world is much weaker than our economy, so our dollar has been strong. But as far as real estate here in the U.S., it's not really tied to the strength or weakness of the dollar. Okay?
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate the call. Yeah, what really matters here is, you know, interest rates, mortgage rates, and, you know, strength of economy as far as demand for properties. And we're going to talk about, I'm going to talk about properties before the end of the show here. Coming up next half hour, what's the trading volume? What's trading volume? What is it? Why is it important? Keeping track of it, is it important for you? That's coming up next half hour on Invest Talk 101. I'm Steve Peasel. You're listening to Invest Talk. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. Give me a call.
Coming up on Invest Talk, answers to your questions, any money matter, comparing load and no load mutual funds, how to gauge your needs in retirement. 888-99-CHART.
When investors consider portfolio management for their retirement accounts, they'd like to think that the person managing their money has a stake in their success. That's why the principals at KPP Financial practice parallel investing.
And that means our money is riding right along with our clients. Everything that we buy for our clients, we buy in our own personal accounts at the same price, same percentage, for ourselves.
That's parallel investing.
So if we make our clients money, we make money.
If you'd like to know more about parallel investing and any of the KPP Financial programs, just visit investtalk.com or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts.
We pride ourselves on this. It's very important for our clients to know this and also our listeners to know this.
The portfolio managers at KPP Financial are invested in your success.
For a true craftsman, doing the job right starts with the best quality materials. That's why for most Red Wing work boots, we use leather made from steer hides. It's sturdier and, well, beefier than hides from cows. Sure, it may cost a little more, but it makes for a more durable, comfortable boot. One made with the same handcrafted pride you put into your work every day. Red Wing Shoes. Work is our work.
You're going to want to give this a listen. Test drive a Nissan today and save big with great offers on our most exciting lineup ever. Shop ChooseNissan.com or your local Nissan store. Hurry, offers end soon.
I told you one coat would cover. What should we do with this leftover paint? Can we use it up?
Let's paint one more wall, then we'll recycle the rest.
Do you know what to do with leftover paint? To find out more, visit paintcare.org. Buy right, use it up, recycle the rest with PaintCare.
We're glad you're with us on Invest Talk today. And whether you're 20-something or something just past retirement, we're here to help you make better investing and money decisions along the way. But we need to know what you need to know. 888-99-CHART.
Take a look around. Is anyone in your office listening to music on a boombox? Probably not. Because you stream radio through the cloud like a normal, well-adjusted person living in the 21st century. Know what else you can get through the cloud? Your business phone system. Yeah, switch to cloud-based RingCentral. Run your entire business phone system online and use it with your smartphone and tablet for as little as $19.99 a month per user. And then you can put that old PBX in the junk pile next to the boombox. RingCentral, phone systems reimagined. Sign up for a free trial at ringcentral.com.
You've got to get on Netflix. What are you waiting for? Access to an insane amount of movies, TV shows, and amazing original series, all instantly streaming to your computer, tablet, or any of the hundreds of other Netflix-ready devices out there. You can watch as much as you want, anytime, anywhere, all for just $8 a month. No joke, it's going to change your life. So go to Netflix.com and get all over that free trial today.
You're listening to Invest Talk, answers to important questions.
I've been listening to you guys' show for maybe about a week now. Okay. And I'm not an investor at all, okay. But I've always wanted to get in. I have no clue on what process it takes.
Get your question to us now at 888-99-CHART. That's how you get through anytime.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So let me finish up real quick on the on our talking point that we're talking about. Return versus yield. Okay, we talk about real estate. And real estate, you know, you buy a piece of real estate, it goes down in value, and you rental property. Well, the return is you might get less because you if you sell it while it's low, you don't. But the yield is the rent. That's what's yielding. So if you hold on to it long enough, maybe it'll come back in value. And meanwhile, you're just collecting that yield, the rent every time. So in stocks, it's dividends. Okay, so let's talk about you buy a stock at price at $100 a share. It goes down to $80 a share, but it pays a 5% dividend all along a year on $80 or $100, whatever you bought it at, 5%, 5%, 5%. And if it never moves, it falls 10% or 20%, you'll make, the yield will give you a profit. And many times they talk about the total return. That means the price that you're selling it for plus the dividends that you got. So sometimes I say the S&P total return for this 2014 is 8%. That usually means that it went up plus they added in the dividend. Or it went down, but they added in the dividend, so it didn't go down as much. That's total return. So sometimes people talk about return and they really mean total return. They're not being specific enough. I hope that's clear. If you have any questions, just give me a call. Or send me an email. I'll try to explain it. Now let's get back to the phones. Gary called from Sheffield with his question. 888-99-CHART is how to reach me anytime.
Yes, and I was interested in hearing the comments regarding Sabine Royalty Trust. Your comments on what you think of it. My mom has quite a bit of this in her retirement account, and I'm just curious if she should sell some of it. Thank you.
Okay, of course, it all depends on what she's looking for, but I think she should be very careful because it's a small company. It's a $576 million company. It's a trust holding overriding royalty interests in oil and gas properties in Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, New Mexico, Mississippi, and Florida. So, of course, you're buying this and you're holding it because you want the yield, the dividend yield, not necessarily the return, but the yield. And the yield is 13.5%. Now, what kind of properties does it have now that oil has really been crushed? How dependent is it on the oil as for a price? And since it is a trust holding royalty interest in oil and gas properties, how long do those oil and gas properties have before they run out of oil and gas? People don't consider that when they think about buying trust. They just look at the yield and say, oh, that's a great yield. But what if that yield stops in 5 years because the properties run out of oil? The wells. See, you got to think about more than just the yield. You got to think about total return, which is the yield plus the price. And it's at selling for $39.56 right now. And just so you know, in 2014, it was as high as 63. And today it's at 39 because the oil price has come down, right? So now it makes the yield look very good. So just be aware. It looks pretty decent right now. It's already fallen hard. It's starting to try to make a recovery. It might be done with its fall. And I would not carry too much of any one thing. How much of this is your mother's portfolio? Is it all of it? Then that's crazy. You need to sell it. You should not have more than a few percentage points, maybe 5% of your overall portfolio. Because you never know. What if it goes bankrupt? What if they're crooks running this thing? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying they are, but you just never know. Why take that risk? And management owns very little of this company, and I would think they should own a lot of it. Being only $578 million, management should have some ownership interest in this company, and they don't. Why not? That bothers me. SBR is a symbol, Sabine Royalty Trust, SBR, S. And Sam, B as in boy, R as in Robert. Okay, it's time for InvestTalk 101. Why trading volume, the volume of trading going on, is so important. Trading volume is a measurement of the activity of the market. You can look at the volume of the whole overall stock market, the volume of a sector, the volume of individual stock. It's the amount of buying and selling of those positions. Most traders keep a pretty close eye on it. I watch it. When volume is low, if you're talking about, and we're going to talk about penny stocks where the volume is very low, and when that happens, scammers can control the price of the stock. People are trying to run a scam. You've got to be careful. Some investors place a higher value, more importance on trading volume. Volume would be considered a technical analysis tool, looking at technical analysis instead of fundamental analysis. Volume can tell you that something's happening with the position. Low volume, high volume, why? Something is changing. Why is a lot of volume all of a sudden coming in? And that volume doesn't mean good, but it doesn't mean bad. It means something's happening. You can have very high volume while the stock is moving up, and you can have very high volume when the stock is moving down. Same way with low volume. But it is meaningful when a stock moves up or down and the volume is shrinking. That's kind of important because volume, if the stock is moving up and volume is starting to shrink, that means it's getting, generally means that it's getting close to being top. If it does the same thing while it's going down, that means it's getting close to being a bottom because people are stopped selling or stopped buying. They're slowing it down. There are less sellers, less buyers, less activity. So volume can be important. You just, it's all about volatility. You know, how much volume. Anyways, that's InvestTalk 101. If there's a topic you want to know more about, just get in touch. We're here right now at 888-99-CHART. Or you can write me a note, click on Contact Steve, or contact Justin on InvestTalk.com.
It may be time. Maybe it's past time for a retirement portfolio checkup. So why put it off? Each month, Steve picks a couple of days to meet with listeners who would like a second opinion and maybe see some new ideas that might make sense to them. If you'd like to meet with Steve in Northern or Southern California, just go to investtalk.com and click on Make an Appointment. Someone will get right back to you.
Hi, this is Noel from National City, calling on two companies, Honeywell, H-O-N, and Deere & Company, D-E. I'd like to know if it's a good time to get into either one of these companies and your opinion on either one of them. Thanks for taking my call.
National City, California, in the San Diego area. I grew up right in that section of San Diego, played a lot of baseball, little league down there. Know it well, National City. Remember, my dad was in the Navy. I don't know if I told you that, but, you know, he was stationed in San Diego, and National City is right near where the docking is. Anyways, let's talk about Honeywell, H-O-N, Honeywell. Provides automotive and aerospace products, security technologies, specialty chemicals, and engine systems. Both the stocks you mentioned are large cap stocks, big companies. Deere, I would be a little bit careful of Deere at this point because the commodities are still in a slump, and I would be careful. Honeywell, let's take a look at it. It is an $81 billion company making $6.11 this year and then $6.76 this year. That's a 10% increase year after year. Sales are increasing in the single digits, you know, maybe 3-4%. The most recent quarter was down 1%, but quarter before that was up 5, quarter before that was up 6, quarter before that was up 4. It's pretty steady, has a dividend of 2%. It's a very nice company. It's not cheap. It's right near its 52-week high. Fell off a little bit this, you know, Monday and Tuesday this week, but it was right close to the 52-week high on Friday and on high volume on Friday. So I kind of think that this is a good company, very solid. Return on equity is 25%, and it's the kind of company you would like to buy on weakness. And so I would, you know, if it gets down to the $100 area, that's about 5% off where it is from the top, this is where I'd buy it if you really wanted to buy it. And just so you know, in October when the market corrected 10%, this stock was selling about $85, Honeywell. So when the market corrects again, it'll give you a bigger opportunity. Yeah, and the market will correct. It just when and how much. No one knows when or how much. But I guarantee you there will be a correction. There always is. It's not, I'm not saying anything that's remarkable. It's just what the market goes up and down. It goes in two directions. There will be another correction. There will be another bear market. There will be another bull market. You know, it's inevitable. February's housing numbers. Okay, existing house reports came out yesterday, and there was 488 million houses sold. They expected 494 million, so it was a little bit under what they expected, but it was better than the 482 million. I'm sorry, 4.8 million, 4.9 million, 4.8 million. Okay, so 4.88 million was what sold, and it sold last month 4.82 million. And they expected it to be a little bit better than that, and it wasn't. Not that big of a deal. It's pretty close. New home sales went up 7%, 7.8%, much better than they expected, 539,000. They expected it to fall, not go up. That's a seven-year peak, by the way, 539,000. Putting it in perspective, you know, when the market was really hot, be like 2006, 2005, they were selling a million of them a month instead of 500,000 a month. That tells you what that's at. How far it's come down. The inventory went down to 4.7 months. That's kind of light, and that's not a lot of inventory. And where did the demand come from? Very strong in the Northeast when it stopped freezing and snowing, and you dug themselves out. Also strong in the South, but very strong in the Northeast. And permits were up. Permits are important because that's like kind of a gauge. That's a leading economic indicator, a gauge of future activity in the housing. I think we have a decent looking housing market coming up this year. I think we do, simply because there has been a lot of pent up demand. There's not that much inventory now. There really isn't. And there's been a lot of jobs produced. You know, not a great jobs, but a lot of them. So maybe we might, and interest rates are still very low, and you might have people wanting to get in before rates start to rise. We'll know better, but it looked pretty good for February. Pretty decent report. Not even a bad report for the existing home sales, because some of that is because there's not a lot of inventory. Now, why not all the benefits of listening to InvestTalk? Why not get them all? Why not? Join our free InvestTalk Insiders program. You can do that. So you can get all the benefits. It's free, and it only costs you your email address. That's it. No costs. Just go to investtalk.com. We have a lot of extra. We have chart lessons. We have info sheets. We have list of ETFs to buy. Our webinars are on there. And there's info sheet today on understanding life insurance. You can sign up for free for InvestTalk Insider Program on investtalk.com.
We're glad you're with us on Invest Talk today, and whether you're 20-something or something just past retirement, we're here to help you make better investing and money decisions along the way. But we need to know what you need to know. 888-99-CHART.
Listen, my mom's broker, she's 78 years old. My mom's broker recently has had her in some bonds, and although they're paying great interest while she's got them, you know, sometimes 8, 9, 10%, by the time they come due, the bonds are worth less. And what ends up happening is he ends up putting her in stock, but of course the principal of the bonds has declined. You know, she's asked me to kind of help her out. I'm not all that well-versed in investing, and like I said, she's got a broker that's kind of taking care of this for her. But what can I advise you? How do you go about choosing bonds? Can you buy bonds, or do you have to go through a broker? How does that work?
If you're going to buy individual bonds, you have to go to a bond desk, and it's kind of difficult. And what the problem is you're buying you high yielding bonds, 8-9%. And now, my first question of mine is, are they junk bonds? Are they high quality? And probably not. And the reason why they're going down by the time they mature is because you're buying way over par. So you're not getting 8-9%. What you need to ask is, what is the yield to maturity? Yield to maturity. That takes into consideration the value of the bond going to par. So in other words, you might get 8%, but you might pay $105 for that bond, and it's going to go to $100 when you mature. So you don't get that. So you're going to lose 5%. And if your yield to maturity is 3%, that means you got 8% in yield for the bond, because you're going to lose 5% when it matures. So the difference between 8 and 5 is 3. So you really want to know, what is the yield of maturity? Not what they're paying, because what they're paying means nothing to you once it matures. You're still going to only make, you're going to lose some of the principal. Remember we talked about just on this, what is your yield and what is your, okay, you got a yield and return. What is a return? What is the yield? Your yield to maturity is the return, total return of that bond. And that's the difference between a, going to par, because you can buy something under par too. That means you make more. So it's it, bonds are a little confusing, and it kind of takes a little bit of a little bit of knowledge, and it's difficult for you to buy a bond, but you're really looking for yield to maturity, not how much they pay the dividend, not the dividend yield, but the or the yield on the bond, not the bond yield, but the yield to maturity is what is important. That tells you how much you're making every year on that. Okay, so be very, very careful. We still have time for your question, 888-99-CHARGE, how you can touch with me right now. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. Will in Vacaville has a question about bonds. Then we'll have time for your question.
I've been unable to get the returns I think I should expect.
It's been like a slow leak, your retirement account, but you're still hesitant to make any big moves.
I've got company stock and a 401k.
And you're wondering if you're still exposed to too much risk.
I may have too much of it.
Time goes by and the missteps and oversights can add up, and you could be losing important money.
I feel like I've made way too many mistakes.
Every year, InvestTalk's Steve Peasley meets with dozens of listeners with one purpose in mind for them, to help them do better. That's it. Could their assortment of assets grow quicker and with less risk? You can see dates for these scheduled individual sessions at investtalk.com. That's investtalk.com with two T's, investtalk.com, or call 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T.
Mossy Fiat in National City has a great selection, style, and low Mossy prices. Right now at Mossy Fiat, get a new 2013 Mossy Fiat 500 Pop Manual for only $87 a month, lease plus tax. That's right, a stylish, sporty 2013 Mossy Fiat 500 Pop Manual and only $87 a month, lease plus tax. Plus, get 40 mpg highway. This amazing offer ends soon, so don't miss out. Go to mossyfiat.com for more info.
University of Phoenix versus take my word for it.
Hey, Ted.
Yeah, boss.
How do I know you can handle this new role?
Take my word for it.
At University of Phoenix's School of Business, we make sure you can give more than just your word. Earn business certificates to show you have the skills to impact your career now, before you graduate. Learn more at phoenix.edu. University of Phoenix. Let's get to work.
Quality healthcare is now just a Target run away. We're proud to announce a new Target clinic at your San Diego Mission Valley Target store with care provided by Kaiser Permanente professional medical staff. It offers all Target store guests the skill and reputation of Kaiser Permanente with the convenience of Target Clinic, featuring walk-in care, evening and weekend hours, and more than 85 services for every member of your busy family, all in a place where you already love to shop. Welcome to Trusted Care, open to all, now at your San Diego Mission Valley Target.
For those of you up and at it before dawn, the Hartford has been there for more than 200 years, so that when the unforeseen happens, you don't just endure, you prevail. With business insurance, employee benefits, auto and home insurance, we're proud to help more than 1 million small business customers play on. If you're not one of them, go to thehartford.com/join us to find an agent near you. Property and casualty coverage provided by Hartford Fire Insurance Company and affiliates, Hartford, Connecticut. Other coverage provided by Hartford Life and Accident Insurance Company.
This is the Tuesday, March 24th edition of Invest Talk. And for some, money is made by investing in the unexpected. Most others feel better being led. Are you walking with the crowd or against it? That's our talking point next time. Be sure to join us tomorrow on Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Will in Vacaville. How you doing, Will?
Good. How you doing, Steve?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Hey, I got a real quick question. What is the market trying to tell us when the 30-year bond rises substantially, but the 10-year note does not, or vice versa. When the 10-year note goes up substantially, percentage-wise, but the 30-year bond does not.
Okay. That is kind of an important, Will. What happens with the long-term versus the short-term bond, and what are the yields? If they, do they invert, and that's where the short-term yield is higher than a long-term yield? In other words, if a 20-year, 30-year bond is paying, or 10-year bond is paying 2%, and a 2-year bond is paying 2.1%, and that does happen. That generally means when a short-term yield is higher than a long-term yield, we're heading into a recession. Very often, that's okay. What that means. Very often. When the yields invert, it's called the inverted yield curve, it's called. Inverted yield curve. When the yields are staying steady and they have like there's equal space between them and they're either, 1% to 2% to 3%, depending on the long and short terms, that means usually you're in a healthy environment.
Okay.
Economically speaking.
Okay. Now, what about when you see the interest where they're buying bonds and all of a sudden you see the 10-year note, they're buying them like crazy, but they're not buying the 30-year one. What does that tell you on a short-term basis?
Well, it's hard to just give you a flat-out answer because it depends on how much bonds are being issued, 40-year versus 10-years. I don't see too many 40-year bonds. 30-year bonds, I do. And right now, the federal government has been selling more long-term bonds and less short-term bonds because it's cheap. And remember, it's federal debt. They want to pay cheapness. I don't know if that's going to tell you much. The thing you really want to watch is the yield curve inverting. Anything else is not as, in my opinion, not as important, not as impactful. Okay? And it really depends on supply and demand. There's that element in there out there too. How much demand and how much supply of bonds are out there? So that plays in part two. Anyways, Will, appreciate the call. Especially today, everybody, our bonds are very much in high demand. Our bonds, U.S. government bonds. Why? Because in Europe, they're not paying anything. Zero. Nada. Matter of fact, they have to pay to buy the bonds. They're not getting paid to hold the bonds, and they're not getting a yield at all. So think about it this way. It's almost like you're putting money in you put your savings in the bank, and the bank charges you for it. That's what's going on in Europe. There's lots of reasons, but don't get me started. Because if you're a European, would you rather buy a 10-year U.S. Treasury and make 2% or 1.98, whatever it is? Or would you rather buy a 10-year German bond paying nothing? Wonder which one I would want to buy. Anyway, penny stocks. Want to talk real quick about penny stocks? They're losing proposition. They sell in the pink sheets. Everybody was out there toting penny pot marijuana stocks. Do you know what the return was for the last year for all the marijuana stocks? No, maybe all of them. All the penny marijuana stocks, they were down on average 66% for the year. Remember all the hype? And yeah, you're going to find those that have done very, very well. But overall, stink. Penny stocks, all penny stocks are like this, by the way. They have false promises, lots of hype. They have manipulators in there trying to drive prices up and down. It's always the same story. Rarely are they have any earnings. Now, that is not the same as small cap stocks. Small cap stocks are small companies, and for 50 years they have beat performance. But we're talking about high quality, stable, good businesses, good balance sheets, high return on equity, small companies, not penny stocks. Just remember that. Before we close for the hour, you can subscribe to our weekly premium newsletter on investout.com. Try it for a month with no risk. It's less than $10 a month. Okay, it's not much less than $10 a month, but it's $10 a month. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, I thank you for listening today, and let's meet again here tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.